Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Dr. Ray Heinisch, joined here with Blythe Wagner. Hey Blythe.
Hey Ray, how is everything?
Everything's great. Everything's awesome. Great. We have a mailbag today, right?
We do. And we've got some great questions. So in between our more scientific topic-based podcasts, we get questions from listeners. And I thought that we could make a pretty good podcast out of these several questions that we've kind of collected over the last few months.
Yeah, we do these from time to time where we kind of accumulate some of the best questions and, that we think apply to a lot of different people. Obviously, we get a lot of very specific questions for specific circumstances, but I think these types of questions kind of hit home for a lot of people who are listening. So.
Right. And I always tell people that if you're wondering about something in particular, there are guaranteed other people wondering. So I think that's why it's important for us to answer these mailbag questions.
Sounds good to me. Let's get into it.
Okay. Well, now any one of these, I think we only have one that's anonymous today, but I'm going to go ahead and just mention the people that allowed us to use their name. Megan states, what are some specific carbohydrates you recommend for high carb days and some specific carbohydrates you recommend for low carb days? So if you ask me, I could give you a long food list of things that you can eat or things that you should select over another maybe processed food. But for a higher carbohydrate day, I would focus on getting oatmeal, rice, quinoa, lots of vegetables, of course, because those do contain carbs, sweet potatoes, things like that. Those are healthy, picked from the earth, naturally occurring healthy carbohydrates. And on a higher carbohydrate type of day, like maybe a day that you're doing some heavy lifting and you're going to be really active and you're going for a walk and, up and moving around a lot, that would call for a higher carbohydrate day versus a day where you're lounging around or maybe you're stuck at a desk for work. Those would be the types of days that I think would call for a lower carbohydrate type of day. And the lower carb containing carbohydrates would be the higher fiber vegetable type of carbs. So, leaving out a whole cup of rice, at your lunch and dinner meal, something like that. So it's not that you have to completely eliminate the starchier types of carbs, but making them less. So utilizing more vegetables and things that contain more fiber that equates to less carbs by the end of the day. Do you have a recommendation for high carb versus low carb foods?
It all depends on what you're doing. If you're kind of focusing on weight loss, then yeah, focus on the low glycemic carbs, things that are as unprocessed as possible. If you're kind of using it to drive performance, perhaps you need a jolt of carbs, a jolt of sugar in the blood to drive performance for a specific sporting event or something along those lines, then some of the faster absorbing carbs, even some of the processed carbs, may be more helpful in circumstances like that because they're generally easy to digest. They load up the system with sugar that can be burned and utilized in that event. So it all depends on what your ultimate goal is. So you think in terms of things that come from the earth. If you are, if we're exclusively focusing on weight loss, then yeah, think in terms of prime foods like a potato, for example, a sweet potato. In the form that nature provided. If it doesn't look like it came out of the earth or came from the earth, then it's probably not a carb you want to incorporate into your lifestyle on a broad basis for weight loss purposes, right?
Right. Yep.
So fruits, vegetables, you know, we hear a lot of discussion about net carbs. A net carb basically means the total carbohydrate count in the food minus the fiber. That's right. the amount of carbs that can actually be utilized as fuel. So you might think of foods or find foods that are lower in the net carb and lower in the glycemic index in order to kind of, you know, deliver a slower, steadier delivery of that sugar into the blood over time. Just keep in mind that all starch ultimately gets absorbed as sugar into the blood.
Right. Good point. Good point. Absolutely. I think that's great. And Megan didn't actually state whether it was for weight loss or not. But, you know, if you've got a big kickball game coming up on Saturday, you're going to want to load up on some good, healthy carbs to have some sugar for you to be able to burn and perform.
It's been a while since I heard kickball.
Oh my gosh. I live in Denver, which, you know, it's sunny here just about every day, even if it just snowed. You know, we had a blizzard last time we were recording, and all the snow's gone. We got like 8 inches or something. All the snow's gone. It's melted. It's a beautiful, sunny 65-degree day outside. And there are so many adult kickball leagues, like every park you go by. And I'm just like, I totally want to do. I don't have the time in my schedule right now to commit to a team like that. But let me tell you, that is right up my alley.
Absolutely.
Okay, should we go to the next question?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, well, I'm going to kind of paraphrase this one because it was a lengthy question. And there is a guy named Eric, and he said, I'm looking to lose 30 pounds. I'm 29, 5'10". I weigh 220. How do you feel about juicing to kickstart my weight loss program? And he listed the foods that he's eating right now. And I am not a huge fan of juicing. However, if you're somebody that has difficulty getting in healthy fruits and vegetables, and juicing is a way that you can incorporate more of that, I think it's fantastic. Now, I'm talking about the type of juicers that allow you to drink the pulp. I'm not talking about the kind of juicers that just extract everything and then you dump out all the pulp, because that pulp is where the fiber is, and that's also going to, you know, the reason we don't eat fruits and vegetables, or the reason we should eat more fruits and vegetables, let me just rephrase that, is because that fiber helps slow the absorption of those sugars. And when you're drinking juice, like out of a container, or juice, even if it's fresh juice that is coming straight from like a fruit pulverizer, you extract the fiber, you're not getting what would just be a whole piece of fruit, right? And that's where we find a lot of the vitamins and the minerals and the good fibers and things that we need. And you're a lot less likely, let's just say you make yourself a large glass of orange juice and you have to use 5 oranges to get that. Nobody would sit down and eat 5 oranges in a sitting. Eating the whole fruit is superior to juicing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We do get that question a lot. In fact, you know, if you go on Amazon, some of the most popular diet books are actually the books that are titled, you know, the green juice diet. Mm-hmm. And my recommendation is for 9 out of 10 people, don't go that route. You know, generally, depending upon where you're starting from, if you feel that you need a juice fast, it tells me that you believe that your diet has been somewhat toxic over time.
Right, yes.
And this idea that a juice fast kind of jumpstarts things probably is not the right place to start. You know, if you're really starting and you've got a lot of weight to lose, my recommendation would be to start slow. Just start by just cutting out a few calories. And if you want to replace one meal with a, you know, pulverized juice and try that out and see if that makes a difference, that may be fine, because if you're taking a 500-600 calorie high fat, high carb meal and replacing that with a 200 calorie, you know, raw juice drink, I think that's probably a good thing. Because in the beginning stages, you know, we talk about how if you're in the sweatpants stage, really it's a very calorie sensitive stage of your journey, meaning you can cut a few calories, burn a few calories, and you'll lose some weight. And then ultimately that's going to shift to more of a hormonal sensitive stage, which is the skinny jean stage and the swimsuit stage, the kind of we call the squishy middle of the weight loss journey. And that is more hormone sensitive. So a juice fast wouldn't necessarily work, or a juice
diet
would not necessarily work as well in that circumstance. Fasting would, because fasting impacts the hormonal, you know, the hormones within the body in such a way that promotes weight loss. But, you know, if we're talking about using it as a crutch, that's where I kind of take exception, you know, because a lot of people, they don't know what to do. So they just say, well, let me just drink juices. And to me, that's not a good approach because number one, it's not sustainable. Right. Number two, what happens after you stop? What do you do then? You know, you haven't really built any kind of habits to implement in your total lifestyle. So you're kind of stuck back at square one where you're just, you know, okay, once the juice fasting is done, what do you do next?
Right. As with any diet, you know, if you adhere to something that's not sustainable forever, and what are you going to do after? So that's, you know, that kind of gives you the answer of if you think that that's something, not a juice diet, but maybe incorporating a juice, you know, three times a week or maybe once a day, like you said, to replace a high fat, high carb meal, then I don't think it's a bad choice, but definitely not a good starting point.
Yeah. 9 out of 10 people I'd say would do better just, you know, you could start by just improving the quality of one meal per day. So, you know, because if you're really just starting out and you've got a lot of weight to lose, in all likelihood, if you do a juice fast, it's going to cause you to want to binge on food after the juice is, you know, after the juice meal, right? You're going to want to eat a lot. And it's hard to counteract those signals that are being sent, especially in the beginning when your body really isn't great at shifting between carbs and fat fuels, you know? In a healthy body, a healthy metabolism can shift quickly between burning carbs and burning fat. An unhealthy body generally doesn't shift very well. So there's this period where the body is thrown into a state of emergency where it's trying to figure out what fuel to burn and how to burn it. And that ends up causing lots of cravings and hunger that can sometimes become uncontrollable. And to me, a juice type situation might worsen that imbalance. So the goal, you know, would be in the beginning to start small. Start with, you know, if you're eating a big, you know, stack of pancakes in the morning, is swapping that out, maybe switching to the protein pancakes or to a smaller stack of protein pancakes, or switching to maybe one or two pancakes and, you know, some eggs at that meal, you know, so that you're shifting things in small ways that the body doesn't feel like it needs to send out emergency signals, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And we talk about that a lot in our Cut the Fat 60-Day Challenge. These are questions that come up a lot, and we answer those questions amongst the group. And I think that a lot of people have that question. So I think that was a good one. Thank you, Eric, for that. Melissa has a question about type 2 diabetes. She is 60 plus pounds overweight, flirting with type 2 diabetes, and she is finally ready to get and stay healthy. She just discovered our podcast a couple weeks ago, but she has been listening nonstop. So she's a binge listener at this stage. I'm at the beginning of my fat loss journey. I'm down more than 5 pounds of fat, mainly by following the guidelines of cutting the processed foods, limiting carbs to morning and midday, and then focusing on resistance training rather than cardio. She's kind of doing the zone diet, which is 40% protein, 30% carbs, 30% fat, which I've been able to achieve roughly, she says. I'm having a really hard time eating enough calories every day. I'm consistently ending each day with a 1,000-calorie deficit, and this scares me because I don't want to go into a starvation mode, but I'm getting really full and satisfied now that I'm eating more lean protein, vegetables, and healthy fats. I think I need to incorporate protein and healthy fat supplements into my regimen to help, but I'm afraid that might not be enough. Do you have any advice for healthy strategies for adding good calories, mainly proteins and fats is what she's looking at, that doesn't increase a lot of volume consumed? I'm so afraid of sabotaging myself. I think a lot of people fall into this category, maybe not flirting with type 2 diabetes, but trying to find enough of the healthy types of calories that she's trying to get in. One of my favorite go-tos has been for years, by adding several calories and good healthy calories, that mainly is protein or fat. Proteins, you know, the leanest proteins I typically suggest are like fish, shrimp. Most of those things are, unless you're talking salmon, but like a white fish, pork, chicken, meats like these contain very little fat. And good quality meats, as long as you have access to those. You know, if you can veer away from getting like the farm raised shrimp and getting the fresh caught fish and shrimp, things like that would be my number one recommendation for protein. But when it comes to fats and things like that, avocados are fantastic. They are loaded with fiber. You know, you can eat an entire avocado in a day, maybe not all at once, but you know, maybe throw half in a shake or half of it in a salad. I often throw an avocado onto my dinner just because it's so filling. You've got the fiber. You know, a lot of times I'll do like a batch cook chili that freezes well, heat it up. And then I'll just slice some avocado and put it on top or on the side, depending on how I feel. But those are great ways to fill yourself so you feel satiated and you're bumping up your calories because avocados have good, healthy fats in them as well as lots of fiber.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, from what I'm hearing in that, it sounds like her body is in pretty good balance. Generally the body's going to tell you through hunger, craving, or energy deficits if you're really below the range that it wants. Number one, oftentimes we underestimate the number of calories that we're consuming. So it's possible she's getting, 200, 300 more calories than she actually believes that she's getting from her food. So that's one thing. Number two, when you are consuming too few calories, when you are sending the body into starvation mode, the reaction is usually cravings, hunger, and or low energy levels. So if you're not suffering from any of that stuff, I would say maybe just keep an eye on things. If you continue to burn fat, if you continue to lose weight, you may not need to worry too much about that,
About the deficit right now,
about the deficit, especially because you're not doing as much cardio anymore, and resistance training doesn't burn as many calories as cardio does. So you're probably not sending the body into too huge of a deficit as far as the calories are concerned, because the resistance training burns fewer calories in the moment. In the process of building muscle, you'll burn more calories all day long in a more sustained fashion, which is less problematic. So I would say just keep an eye on things. And then, all these recommendations that Blythe made would be an easy way of adding a few extra calories if you feel you need it. Do so in such a way that won't sabotage the result that you're getting.
You know, one of the things I come across a lot, especially with my one-on-one clients, is, you know, people start working out, they feel great, they're eating really well, they feel like they're getting in enough calories, you know, everything's going great. And then 3 or 4 days later, after doing amazing, they're like, "Yeah, I just had a huge binge." And I'm like, okay, so what's missing? Because if your body leads you to feeling so deprived that you just have like this nonstop day-long binge, something is missing. So listening to your body is a key here. If you're not experiencing that, then what you're doing is probably working. If you find yourself binging every second, third, fourth day, then maybe it's time to just add in a free meal there, or what we call an OMI meal. You know, something that you really, really enjoy. Maybe it's high in calories. Maybe you feel deprived from a glass of wine. You know, these are things that you can still incorporate into your life and have on occasion, so you don't feel the need to just go out and completely drop the ball and binge, because you and I both know that getting back on after that binge is quite often the hardest part. And this is where people lose track or fall off the tracks of where they were headed.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah, so don't set yourself up for failure that way. Okay. So the next question is from Trisha. She actually posted on our Facebook page. It wasn't just a private message. So this is up there for anybody to go back and read if they like. She says, "I've lost 15 kilos through CICO." And I wasn't exactly sure what that was, so I had to look it out. It's calories in versus calories out. Type of eating and exercise. I recently hit the plateau and I'm struggling. I'm doing a mix of personal training sessions, kickboxing, and attempting jogging. Probably train 5 to 6 times a week. I work 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. in a bakery, and my nutrition is where I'm being let down, mainly from binging due to not getting the time to eat during work." And this is what I just talked about. I didn't line it up this way. This is funny. "I'm a mom with 2 school-age kids, so I rarely get to bed in time to get 8 hours of sleep. I can tell that my body is under stress. Is it better to continue the exercise in hope it will balance the calories in versus calories out? or better to reduce the exercise to give my body a chance to recover. Love your show and have faithfully listened to every single episode and repeats. Thanks for all your hard work. So calories in versus calories out is the first thing I want to talk about. There is so much scientifically that applies when we're talking about weight loss here, and specifically body fat loss. Calories in versus calories out is not the equation that I think people should start with. I think there's a simpler approach. And I think the simpler approach is two things that Tricia pointed out here is, you know, paying attention to the types of food you're getting and being armed with a snack that you bring from home, not something from the bakery, probably. I'm not sure what they make at the bakery, but typically that's not the type of food you want to be snacking on, especially if you're under stress and you're not getting enough sleep. So having a healthy snack prepared and taking, you know, 10, 15 minutes to eat mid-shift so you're not leaving there feeling famished and you're not looking to, you know, wolf down the first thing that you see. After, because you're, you know, you've let yourself go so long that you're so hungry. That's probably the simplest approach. Of course, drinking plenty of water during your shift as well would be another one, because sometimes, you know, we feel hungry and actually we're just thirsty, because if you're not stopping to take the time to eat, I'm not sure if you're stopping to take the time to drink enough water, Tricia, because that can also be helpful. But I think bringing a snack or being prepared with some sort of a meal to take with you to work would be number one. Number two, sleep would probably kind of coincide with the exercising 5 to 6 times a week. If you're not getting, you know, 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep is optimal. But if you're not even getting in 7 hours of sleep and you feel exhausted, getting up and going to the gym the next day probably isn't going to do you as much benefit as getting a little more rest. What do you have to say about that, Ray?
Yeah, so this is a really good example of how the tools that work in the beginning have a tendency to fail us later down the line. You know, they say that what gets you into Egypt won't get you to the promised land. And in this circumstance, I think is exactly what we're seeing. So the calories in, calories out model works really well when you're at the really, you know, at the starting stages of your journey. And in this case, that's what she implemented. She probably did quite well during the first, you know, few weeks, a few months of doing that. She lost a certain amount of weight, but now she's kind of moved into the middle stages, the skinny jeans / swimsuit stages of the journey. And at that point, now that calories in, calories out model begins to fail you because of the fact it now becomes a very hormone-centric thing. Oftentimes, you run smack dab into what we call the stubborn fat, which is, It sounds like that's where she's at, right? She's getting that plateau. And so what's happened here is now we start to see the manifestations of hormonal imbalance in her body, which ultimately causes the cravings, the hunger, and the lack of energy, all of which she seems to be dealing with right now.
Right, yes.
And throw on top of that the fact that she's surrounded by tasty treats all day long. And, you know, it's just a recipe for falling back into the old me way of eating, right? The old me way of eating. Right. Because now you're still using the calories in, calories out model. You're still exercising a lot and cutting calories. But now your body is super good at burning calories, but not so good at releasing them into the blood. So you have this deficit of energy. And because you have this deficit of energy, because the body's good at burning energy, it's not as good at releasing it into the blood to be burned. Where is your body going to get that fuel? It's going to get it by sending signals to the brain to eat. And so all of this kind of ultimately manifests in this yo-yo effect that we see in people. You're cutting calories, you're exercising a ton, you're losing some weight, and then all of a sudden that stuff starts to fail you because you end up with intractable hunger, cravings, and lack of energy, and so it causes you to eat more and more. And so it's just up and down that people, you know, constantly, you know, that constantly erodes the results that people get. So what we need to do is shift the tools that we use towards more hormonal balance. So we should be thinking in terms of, okay, if I'm going to exercise as much as I'm exercising, I've got to support the body's ability to repair and regenerate. And she may not be doing that. She may not be consuming sufficient levels of protein in order to really give the body what it needs to recover from the amount of exercise that she's doing. Now, right. if she's doing tons of cardio, which is a calories in, calories out model of exercise, mm-hmm. we're going to shift her now to resistance training and high intensity interval training, because those will impact the muscle and the hormones in a way that will not expend huge amounts of calories in the moment, but will naturally get her body to continue to burn the energy and be able to release more energy into the blood from the fat cells so that she's not seeking out food all day long to account for that fact.
Right.
So that's where I think, based on what I heard there, it sounds like that's the problem that she's running into. That's one problem. Yeah. The other problem, Blythe, I'm going to be frank here with you.
Okay.
Because if you're running into weight loss stagnation, you know, we like to say that there's only two reasons why you're not losing weight. Either your program sucks.
Or your follow-through sucks.
Right. So here's what I want you guys to do. Because this, and I don't know that this is her circumstance. It sounds like she's, you know, from what she said, her diet's where her issue is. Mm-hmm. And part of that may be just the fact that she's fighting the hormones right now. Like her body's trying to get her to eat because it can't get enough energy into the blood to be burned for energy. So it's causing that food seeking behavior. The other side of thing is what I'm about to show you. So here's what I want you to do, Blythe, and anybody who's listening, do this. Put your palm up so your fingers are pointing out away from your body.
Okay.
Okay. Take your other hand with the knife's edge, with your pinky down, and place mm-hmm. it in the middle of your palm
okay.
so that both hands' fingers are pointing directly away from you.
Okay, got it.
So the bottom hand is your intention. The top hand is your integrity okay. with your intention. So when those are in alignment, you get positive results in your life, whether it be with weight loss, with your job, with your relationships, with your family, with anything in life. If your intention is in line with your integrity, you're good to go and the sky's the limit. Now, take your take your top hand mm-hmm. and turn it so that the fingers are pointing towards 8 p.m. on the clock.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So this shows where most people are at with their lifestyle. They have an intention, but they're out of integrity. Their integrity is out of alignment with mm-hmm. their intention. And so that's how people usually progress, slightly offline. You know, it's not like they're going the opposite direction, but they're slightly offline with their intention, with their integrity. And that's what ultimately causes poor results to no results for people. So you've got to really be honest with yourself and say, okay, is it the program? Does the program suck? And in this circumstance, it sounds like there's a little bit of that because mm-hmm. it's not aligned with where she's at in her journey. And there is a little bit of an integrity issue, too, with sticking to the program that she's decided to stick to because right. she said her diet is where, you know, she seems to be failing herself. So the first thing we want to do is try to get into alignment with our intention. And then that's what we call committing to a program, committing to one program. And then staying in integrity with that program long enough to assess whether or not it's working for us. And then at that point, we can determine if it's not working for us and we are in integrity with our intention, then we can say it's the program, not our follow through. And we need to shift the program.
That's a great visual. I like that. With the hands.
Yeah.
I love that. No, I was totally doing it while you were telling me. I think that's a great visual. It's a good tool.
Yeah. Great.
Great answer. I hope that a lot of people grab some golden nuggets from that one. Thank you, Tricia, for that. Jeannie, my exercise plan is pretty on point. How do you feel or what do you recommend about an occasional glass of wine/beer and or spirits? I'll let you go first on this one.
I don't mind it. If all's good with your lifestyle and you want to have a glass of wine, you know, even a glass of wine a night, I would say is probably okay for most people. Some people, they can't do that. One glass always leads to two. Sometimes two leads to four. So you've got to really gauge how you go about how your body responds to such a habit of drinking, you know, a glass of wine or, you know, a glass of spirits or what have you. If it's on occasion, once or twice a week, and you're having a glass with some friends, glass of wine with some friends, that's almost never a problem.
Right.
But if you're having, if you're basically doing well during the week and then you're binging on alcohol during the weekend, that is a recipe for disaster.
Right. Absolutely. And the one thing that kind of caught my eye when I read this question was, my exercise plan is pretty on point. How do you feel? There's nothing to be said here about nutrition.
Right.
So I don't know what the goal is here. I don't know if we're talking about moving toward weight loss. If your exercise plan is on point and you are frustrated because you're not losing and you think it might be because you're having an occasional glass of wine or beer or something like that, exactly what Ray said. You know, if you're finding that going out on Friday and Saturday nights and then Sunday morning brunch, you're having, you know, mimosas and wine or whatever, your exercise plan might be right on point and you might be working out, seeing results there. But if the setback you think is the alcohol, it could be the nutrition and the alcohol. It could have both in there. But I'm right in, along with you on that is, you know, if an occasional glass of wine, you know, maybe Tuesday night's happy hour with the girls or whatever, you want to go out and do that. I think, you know, doing that and everything else is on point and you're still seeing results, fantastic. If everything else is on point and you're not seeing results and you think alcohol might be the culprit, well, it might be worth cutting out for a couple of weeks to see if you start getting the results that you're looking for.
I love that. And, you know, I will say that most of the time when people ask the question,
I know what you're about to say.
They already know the answer. Yeah. And, you know, and, you know, what moderation is unfortunately, it has a lot of room for interpretation for people. So,
yes.
You know, if we are talking about one glass of wine once or twice a week, that almost never has a negative effect on people's ability to lose weight. The problem with alcohol is it's not that it causes a lot of you know, fat storage. It's that the body will preferentially burn that alcohol over other nutrients within the body. And if you expose the body to enough alcohol, it really can impact the energy-producing organelles of the cell called the mitochondria in a negative way and cause some metabolic issues that may take days or weeks for the body to be able to repair and recover from. So
right.
That's one of the issues with, you know, larger quantities of alcohol. But if we're talking one glass every couple of days, well, one glass of wine can actually have a positive impact on insulin sensitivity. So I'm not too worried about that. What I'm worried about is if somebody is drinking, you know, two glasses or more per day, and that can certainly cause an issue with their ability to burn fat and lose weight. And or, like you said, if you're drinking one glass a day and you're still having problems losing weight, well, that may be a good experiment to run. Let's stop it for a few weeks and see what happens.
Right. Good. Okay, cool. So Jolene asks, how do you find a personal trainer if you don't belong to a gym?
You know,
I thought this was a great question because it's not one that I see very often.
Yeah, and I guess the better question is, how do you find a good personal trainer
if
you do not belong to a gym? You know, I think that the future of gyms is really going to be around these micro gyms like Orange Theory, where you go in, you sign up for a membership, you walk in, you do an hour workout that is run by a personal trainer, mm-hmm. Who runs the whole, you know, session, and then you leave, and that's how that whole micro gym functions, is where it's you come in, you do the workout that is prescribed for the day, and you leave. So I think that's where the future of gyms are going to be going. Mm-hmm. In addition to things like Peloton and Mirror, where you can have those types of workouts in your own home, I think that will also be where the future goes.
Do you have a mirror yet?
I don't have a mirror, no, but probably will be getting one over the next year.
Yeah, super cool. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, even I need this. This is great. You can just get great ideas from that. And you can take from that, and if you do have a gym membership or you go somewhere else to work out, you can use some of the moves and some of the exercises that you learn from doing those types of workouts. Same thing with Orange Theory. I totally agree with you that the future in workouts is going to be more at home type of things like that, or places you can go. There is a place there is a place here called Core Power Yoga, and their instructors go through lots of rigorous training. I think they have to have 200 hours of teaching as a volunteer with instruction, so without pay, but with instruction, to even get their certification. So more than likely, when you go to a class like that, like Orange Theory or Core Power Yoga, or even there's a bar class, several different bar studios around here that you can go to. Most of those instructors have gone through rigorous training, and I would call them a good personal trainer.
Yeah, they have good quality assurances and things like that, you know, and I like those types of places, and I think you're going to see more and more of these like franchise style micro gyms that are going to be popping up all over the place, where they are run by a trainer for a group of people, because I think that's a powerful way to get yourself to do more. Like, you're the one in the class, you don't want to be the one that's the slacker, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, it causes you to push.
Yeah, that's why people go to classes, not just the camaraderie, and it's more of the competition of yourself amongst other people, you know, and it's nice having that push from the instructor and having other people doing it around you. So that's definitely a good place to start if you don't have a gym membership, you know, going
or
to
you don't have a lot of money to spend as well, because personal trainers are expensive.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you want to find a good personal trainer, really the best way to do is to ask around. Find your fittest friends who probably have personal trainers and ask them what they, you know, what they're doing or who they're training with. That's one good way to do it. You can do some searches around and just do some Google searches for personal trainer near me and see what pops up. Don't take the first one that pops up. You know, kind of check them out. Check out their, you know, Facebook page. See what the, you know, what they're, how they're training people, what their people that they're being trained, how they seem to be progressing. Look at the testimonials of people that have been with them. Do a trial session. Don't sign up for, you know, a 3-month, 6-month contract with anybody until you've done a trial session. They're like, just like with a therapist, like you don't want to pick the first therapist that you go to. You test them out. You see if they're a fit. Like if you guys have a kind of a natural, you know, fit. If it feels like weird, if it doesn't feel like it's a good energetic fit for you, find somebody else, because there are personal trainers everywhere.
Right. And there has to be a personality match there too. So, you know, most trainers will give you a free session just to kind of try it out. And that is your opportunity to kind of interview that trainer and see if they're a good match for you.
And by the way, don't ever accept a trainer who talks down to you. I have seen this out there, and they think that the best way to motivate somebody is to belittle them. I've seen that. Mm. Don't ever accept that, even if it works in the beginning. Yeah, because people will go, and the fear that they fear that they feel will cause them to stick to a program, to stick to a diet for a period of time. But there is a consequence. There is a side effect to that, where over time you will start to accept some of the negative things that they ultimately say to you. And so never accept a personal trainer who talks down to you or belittles you for, you know, not sticking to a program. There is a way to help people make positive shift in their lifestyle without resorting to guilt and shame.
Right. Yes. Let's not fall into that. Okay. So Jolene, there is your answer for that. Roland left a Facebook question regarding training. He's had a 4-month lapse, and he said when he was working out, you know, it was every single day. He felt great. He's had a 4-month lapse, and he's wondering if he should just jump right back into 6 or 7 days a week, or if it's something he should ease back into.
Good question.
I have two schools of thought on this. You know, I don't think there's a direct or a general answer for everyone, but I do feel like if you feel like getting up and exercising and going and doing something, don't stop yourself from doing it. If you feel like going 6 days a week, then do that. But be mindful. And if you find that you're now going from having a four month lapse and you're so sore and you're so exhausted and then you don't want to get out of bed, don't force yourself into doing that either. So my suggestion for that would be, if you think you're, you know, 110% or nothing at all, then I would make a schedule and say, you know what, I'm going to establish a habit here. I'm going to go every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Here is the time of day I'm going to go, and adhere to that schedule so you're not going to let yourself out of, you can't talk yourself out of going to a workout. Make an appointment with yourself a few days a week, establish that as a new habit. And then if you feel like doing more, go ahead and do more.
Yeah, so I agree with that 100%. I would say under promise, over deliver. So there is something that happens. There's this phenomenon that happens that, you know, as you're starting a healthy lifestyle, you start to implement healthy things. And then all of a sudden, you want to do more healthy things because of that. And it's something that happens naturally without you forcing yourself. So what I would say is set 3 days a week initially. Stand in integrity in that commitment. And then if you feel the urge to do more, do more. But you only are on the line with your integrity to do the 3 days a week that you have scheduled for exercise and work and working out. So that's how I would take it. You know, if you end up going 5 or 6 days a week, even right out of the gate, and you feel good, great. But always know that the worst case scenario is you're going to go on the 3 days that you've committed to go to. Right. Again, it comes back to what's your intention? Where's your integrity for that intention? Getting out of integrity is ultimately what probably caused the failure. And that also begs the question, well, what happened when you had this long stint? What was it that triggered the break, right?
The 4 month lapse, right? Yeah.
And so it's important to ask yourself, what went wrong? You know, what ultimately caused you to not just what was it that caused you to stop that first time, but ultimately what prevented you from jumping right back on the bandwagon after you broke the chain, so to speak?
Right.
And that's an important question to ask. So once you figure that out, it'll help to determine, was it the fact that you just got too busy? Well, then we've got to look at that. Because if that's the case, if you are busy, forcing yourself to go to the gym 5 or 6 days a week is a recipe for disaster.
Right. We don't want to start by going back there. We don't want to start right there. Yeah, we'll go back and make an appointment with yourself, just as if you have a doctor's appointment. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and you don't want to be late for that, and you're not going to miss it.
And set a rule. If then, what's your if then rule? So if I miss a workout, then I will go the very next day. If I miss a workout, I will not miss two. Then I will never, ever, ever miss 2 days unless I'm sick or injured. And so this idea that, okay, life does get in the way sometimes. But don't let yourself miss two times. You might miss one, but don't miss two, at least not in the chain, right?
Right. Yeah. No, good. Good point. Okay. Last question here is an anonymous one. She says, I'm a female over 40. I just joined a gym to add strength training. So she said to add strength training. So I'm going to assume that she was maybe walking or doing some form of cardio. On her own, I go 2 times a week to the gym now. What should I focus on? And I believe she's asking what types of exercise should I focus on at the gym? And she said strength training. So we know she's already thinking about strength training. I'm guessing she's asking about specific types of strength training. And if you're somebody who's completely brand new to strength training, I would say if you're going twice a week, do some type of a circuit, a full body type of circuit. Strength training, you can, whether or not you're able to add any weights yet, I don't know, but you can do things like walking lunges, you can do crunches, you can do tricep dips on a bench using your body weight, you can do push-ups, you can do assisted pull-ups, you can do air squats, you can do wall sits. There are all sorts of things you can do that don't necessarily mean you have to be at a gym. Unless you have no weights at home and you're ready to add some weight to those types of resistance training exercises.
Yeah, so think push-pull exercises. Push would be like a bench press or an inclined bench press. A pull exercise would be like a row or a lat pull-down. A push exercise would be a squat-type exercise or a leg press machine. Mm-hmm. And when you think push and pull-type exercises, what that does is it prevents you from focusing in on the little the little muscle groups, the small muscle groups, like the biceps, for example, where you're curling a weight up. That's not a push or a pull. It's a, you know, it's a curling type movement. Same thing goes with like the adductor abductor workouts. You see you see people on these machines all the time doing adductor and abductor. It's a very
the inner and outer thigh. Yeah,
it's a very small muscle group compared to the thighs and the butt and the quads and the chest muscle and the back muscle. So you want to work the bigger muscle groups when you only have 2 days to work out per week. And then as you kind of, you know, if you go to 5 or 6 days a week, if you are getting into that schedule, well, at that point you can start doing split type resistance training sessions where you're doing chest and back one day, leg day another. Arms and shoulders another. And so at that point, when you have more days that you're able to work out and do so consistently, then you can start to split things up at that point.
And adding the smaller muscle groups and focusing. Right. Yeah.
And doing some high intensity interval training there as well and things like that.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think we answered a lot of great questions. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, I'm good. Let's conclude the show.
Okay. Well, I would like to say, number one, I appreciate when you guys send in these questions to us. You know, we do our best to get back to you, even if you just send a Facebook message through our Cut the Fat Facebook page, or, you know, you can shoot me an email, blythe@cutthefatpodcast.com. I'm more than happy to get back to you. If you guys do want to hear your questions mentioned on one of our podcasts, make sure you say so. Let us know if we can use your name or not, because we enjoy answering these types of questions, because if you're wondering, guaranteed there are lots of other people out there wondering the same thing. It's just that you made the extra effort to take the action to ask. So thank you guys so much for doing that.
And sometimes it leads to a topic, you know. So sometimes when somebody asks a question, even though we don't quote it as a question in the podcast, sometimes it leads to a full topic that we discuss. You know, if we get enough questions about, you know, a certain type of eating, for example, it might lead to a topic on that particular type of eating. You know, whether it be the ketogenic diet or the, you know, or this type of exercise, high intensity interval training or what have you. So think of it like that as well. What would make for a great topic, and ask those types of questions too.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for that. We appreciate it. And we will see you at the next podcast.
See ya.